All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So for today's Chandan Yatra class, which was a transcendental trick of the Lord when I agreed to give Sunday Feast class, there was only a handful of devotees coming. It's middle of the summer. And I said yes, and then it was the schedule, and I found out it was Chandan Yatra a couple weeks later. So there's many, many more sincere devotees and pujaris who are much more qualified than me, but they were too busy doing all of their wonderful service for their lordships today to even consider it in their schedule. So for today's verse, I was thinking that probably the most appropriate of all, Lord Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita today, Hatram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami pratyatatmana. So for those of you who are new, this is Lord Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, verse 26. And the chapter title is The Most Confidential Knowledge. And Krishna is telling his devotee Arjuna, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, of fruit or water, I will accept it. In the purport, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada says, here, Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord, and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals what types of sacrifices he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then he should find out what the Lord desires of him. So, because today is such a wonderful day that only comes once a year, I wanted to share with you some of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on worshiping Krishna in his deity form and some of the revelations Srila Prabhupada gave to us one class in Melbourne, Australia in 1974. And actually there's about 20 classes you can find on the database of Srila Prabhupada talking about how if you want to worship Krishna in his Virat Rupa form, in his universal form, how will you do that? Krishna comes, therefore, personally and exhibits this Krishnamurti. Just like here is this picture of your spiritual master. So you worship this picture. You know that this is my spiritual master's picture. Similarly, Krishna's deity and Krishna is not different. I was explaining this morning, Krishna has come kindly to accept your service as you can deal with him. If Krishna comes in his gigantic form, Krishna has got a gigantic form also, as he has shown to Arjuna, you will not be able to capture him. Neither you have the means to dress him. Suppose the universal form of Krishna is there and you have to dress him. So the whole cloth factory, it will not be enough. It will be finished. Is it not how you can dress? You have no capacity to dress. But Krishna, he has kindly accepted a form, the deity. You can purchase cloth according to your means, and with your great devotion, you can dress. Similarly, the gigantic Virat Rupa, universal form, the whole, it is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that he is eating, the whole humanity is going on in his mouth. Then where will you get such food? The whole human, the whole universal living entities can be devoured by Krishna. But because you are not able to offer such gigantic food to Krishna, Krishna says, all right, give me patram pushpam palam toyam. Give me a little flower, give me a little fruit, give me a little water. I shall accept it. This is called Archana Vidhi. Krishna has agreed to accept your service as you can afford to do. It is not idol worship, it is actually worshiping Krishna. So Chandan Yatra came about by the Lord's own personal desire, and I'll recount a little bit, and the love and devotion of two of his great devotees. So the first devotee, and many of you may know this story, but King Indrajumna, this goes back many thousands of years, King Indrajumna had a great desire. He wanted to worship the Lord personally in his Archavigraha form. And at that time, the Lord was being worshipped as Lord Nilamadava. And it took quite a bit of time before King Indrajumna was able to find out Nilamadava. And when he finally got to that place, the mountain where the Lord had been worshipped, the Lord had disappeared. And in great anguish and desiring to end his life, then the Lord appeared to him and said, no, I have a different plan. So Krishna instructed him that he wanted him to build a large temple on the Neelachala Hill in Orissa, where we know today is the beautiful Jagannath Puri Temple. And so many things happened in the course of the Lord appearing in his form as Jagannath. And when the Lord finally came, and the demigods were there, headed by Lord Brahma and King Indrajumna, at the Lord's Abhishek, Lord Brahma himself, this is just described in the Skanda Purana, Lord Brahma asked him, my Lord, Lord Jagannath, how do you wish us to worship you? We do not know your form and your desires. Please tell us, how should we worship you? And Lord Jagannath himself instructed, he wanted 12 festivals every year to be performed, and Chandan Yatra is one of those festivals. And he described his whole body should be covered in sandalwood, except for his eyes. So all of these years since the installation of Lord Jagannath, this has been going on by his devotees, his pujaris there. And it's not just a one-day festival, 21-day festival, and it's a very opulent festival. It happens every year on the Akshaya Tritiya, which is the third lunar day of the waxing moon of the Vaishakha month. And this is a very special day astrologically, and more importantly for the devotees spiritually, because it's a day to surrender one's very life and soul, one's very heart, at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the benedictions and the mercy that come from the Lord in exchange for us giving our love and our devotion is can't be calculated. So this is the day, and we can take it that this is a very special day to take advantage of offering ourselves the lotus feet of Shishi Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, and Radhashyama Sundar. And also any charity that's given today, any service that's given, all of this is special, special reciprocation from the Lord. It's also the day in Puri that they begin the annual construction of the Rath carts. In India, the hottest, that hot season starts in May. So this day in, this year was May 13th. And I looked up in Vrindavan, it was something like 122 degrees Fahrenheit on that day in Vrindavan this year. So, I don't know, were any of you there for Chandan Yatra in Vrindavan this year? No, everybody got back to the air conditioning, okay. Gets even hotter. And yes, so for that whole hot season, the deities are, we'll get to Vrindavan in a minute. I'm sorry, I'm going to stay in talking about Puri for a few more minutes. So this covering the body of the Lord with ointments is an act of devotion, and sandalwood is considered to be the best of all things you could possibly offer to the Lord to anoint on his body. It's very, very cooling. And they also, every day there's a procession going to Narendra Sarovara, a kund there. Oh, Hare Krishna. Well, we get to offer our obeisances another time. Take advantage. So when they're taking Lord Jagannath, and they take the Chandan, the 21 days of the Chandan Yatra in Jagannath Puri, it's the small deities of Krishna and Balaram that are covered in the Chandan. It's not the 6-foot deity of Jagannath. But there's a beautiful procession, and on the lanes, from the temple to the kund, it's decorated with beautiful flowers strung everywhere and fruits hanging on the lane. So everything is made very auspicious, like what we read about in Krishna book, when Krishna comes to Mathura, or when Krishna's coming back to Dwarka, and all the beautiful descriptions of how everyone in the city wants to welcome the Lord with scented waters and fruits and flowers. So that's going on every day during Chandan Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. And so how this wonderful festival came to Vrindavan is by one of our great acharyas in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line, Srila Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri had come, and up until this time, Chandan Yatra wasn't, to my knowledge and to my research, it wasn't celebrated anywhere outside of Jagannath Puri. As a matter of fact, the Chandan that comes from the Malaya hills there, it wasn't even allowed outside of Orissa. So Madhavendra Puri was visiting Vrindavan, and he had circumambulated Govardhan Hill, he had taken his bath in Govinda Kund, and he had sat under a tree to prepare to take rest and was chanting the Maha Mantra, very, very happy in his mind and heart, experiencing ecstatic love for Krishna, so grateful to be in Vrindavan. When a young cowherd boy came to him with a pot of milk, and he asked Madhavendra Puri, "Who are you and where have you come from? And what kind of austerities are you performing? Why are you fasting?" And Madhavendra Puri was clearly in the dress of a renunciate, sannyasi. But Lord Gopal, the cowherd boy, asked him. And Madhavendra Puri, he said, how did you know I was fasting? And he said, "Oh, some of the ladies who came to take bath, they saw you here, and they sent me with this pot of milk." So the cowherd boy gave the pot of milk to Madhavendra Puri, and he said, I'll come back and get it later. And just seeing this beautiful cowherd boy, Madhavendra Puri, all hunger and thirst had just vanquished, just disappeared, gone. And he drank that milk, and he washed the pot, and he kept looking for this beautiful cowherd boy, wondering, when is he going to come back? And then, sitting there chanting, he couldn't sleep, and he just kept chanting, and finally, very late, he fell asleep briefly. And the same cowherd boy came back to him in his dream. And he said, I am Gopal, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And I am in the forest, in this dense forest. And I've been waiting. When will my devotee, Madhavendra Puri, come? Now you have come. Let me take you. And Gopal took him by the hand in his dream and brought him to the area in the forest where he was hidden, and all the dirt and grasses had grown over it. It had been a long time he'd been deep in the forest. He said, please bring all the villagers and excavate me, bring me out of here, and place me on the top of Govardhan Hill and install me there in a temple. So Madhavendra Puri, when he awoke from his dream, again, he was feeling his ecstatic love for Krishna, but then he was lamenting, that was Krishna himself. He came, and I didn't recognize him. And I didn't recognize him. So he was lamenting, but then he fixed his mind on the instruction of Gopal. He took his bath in Govinda Kund, and then he gathered the villagers together and told them of the dream and told them that where Gopal was. And also this deity, Gopal told him, I was installed by Krishna's great-grandson, Rudra. But it was at the time when the Mohammedans were invading that the Pujari had hidden him there in the forest and run away out of fear of the attack. So the villagers were excited that their lord, the lord of Govardhan, had returned, was there and would be coming back. And Madhavendra Puri said, bring your machetes, bring ways to cut through the forest. It's a very dense jungle there. So everybody came together and they found the deity, and the deity was very heavy. So it took the strongest men carried him to the top of the Govardhan Hill, and with a big slab stone they installed the deity, and with the stone behind him. And then all of the villagers brought pots of water, hundreds and hundreds of pots of water from Govinda Kund, to cool and cleanse the body of Gopal. And then everyone, understanding, because they're all devotees. They're all devotees at Govardhan Hill, and they know, and they're so happy that Krishna has come in his form of Sri Gopal. So they all brought whatever they had, all the milk, all the ghee, all the yogurt, all their grains, all their vegetables, all their fruits, everything they had. Every individual cleared out their storehouse, and they all brought it. And the Brahmins sat up and began cooking. In one day, they recreated the Anakut festival, like Nanda Maharaj's Anakut festival in Vrindavan, when Krishna was personally present, organizing and orchestrating it all to offer to Govardhan Hill. So everyone's just described beautiful, beautiful offerings that were made, all the different vegetable dishes and rices and chapatis stacked up. They would put cloth down and then just stacks and stacks of all these wonderful preparations for the Lord. And Madhavendra Puri, he personally offered all of it to Lord Gopal. When the neighboring village heard of Gopal's appearance and his installation on the top of the hill and of the Anakut festival, they wanted to do the same thing. So day after day after day, a neighboring village, they would all bring their storehouse of grains and vegetables and fruits, and they would again. So the Anakut festival for Gopal happened day after day after day. In this way, The Lord was worshipped with so much love and devotion from all of his devotees, all the neighboring villages. And one wealthy devotee was inspired to build a temple for the Lord, and someone else was inspired to create beautiful cooking pots. And in this way, everybody gave from their talents and from their wealth to worship the Lord. And Madhavendra Puri was very happy, and Gopal was very happy. And after 2 years of the service, Gopal again appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream. And he told him, even though I had been bathed with, by this point, who knows how many water pots, right, of water, and how well I've been fed, still my body is burning from being buried for so long in the earth. The only thing that will take away this heat from my body is to be covered in sandalwood. Please go at once and get me sandalwood from the Malayan hills, and it's the only thing that will cool my body, and only you can do it. So Madhavendra Puri was very happy to be given this service by his Lord. So he arranged for the Brahmins to carry on with the Lord's worship, make sure everything was being taken care of nicely, and he left at once. Now, Jagannath Puri is a very long way from Vrindavan, and he set out on foot, and in those days there weren't roads or highways, you couldn't catch a train or an airplane, so it was a very, very long journey, and even though he was elderly, he had no hesitation whatsoever to render this service to the Lord. He was so absorbed in love for Krishna, love for his Gopal, that he was just always meditating on the Lord within his mind and heart, and very happy to be given this mission. So he went all the way to Shantipur and stopped. He stayed at the house of Advaita Acharya. And when Advaita Acharya saw the ecstatic symptoms of love of God in the person of Madhavendra Puri, he offered his obeisances and he begged him for spiritual initiation. And Madhavendra Puri initiated him. And then from Shantipur, he went to Remuna. And in Remuna, he stayed at the temple of Gopinath. Lord Gopinath, very beautiful deity, worshipped very lovingly by all of his pujaris and all the devotees in that village. And I want to be able to share with you directly some of these verses because they're much more potent than my speaking. Ah, this is the one. So when at the temple of Gopinath, Madhavendra Puri inquired from the Brahmins there. He said, I would like to know all the different preparations that you make for Gopinath so that when I return, we'll be able to make them for Gopal. So one of the Brahmins, he described in detail. In the evening, the deity is offered sweet rice in 12 earthen pots because the taste is as good as nectar, Amrita. It is named Amrita Kali. This sweet rice is celebrated throughout the world as Gopinath Chira. It is not offered anywhere else in the world. So when Madhavendra Puri heard this, immediately he was thinking, I have to know how to make this sweet rice so we can offer it to Gopal. And then while he was thinking like that, another pujari came and they brought all the 12 earthen pots of the sweet rice. And Madhavendra Puri briefly thought, if I could taste that sweet rice, I would know how to make it. And as soon as he had that thought, he felt ashamed of himself that he had desired to taste something before the Lord had enjoyed it. And admonishing himself inside, he begged the Lord's forgiveness. He stayed for the Artik ceremony, and then after the Artik, he offered his obeisances, and he left, feeling sorry for his mistake, for his offense. So in the marketplace, Madhavendra Puri began just chanting Mahamantra, asking the Lord's forgiveness. And after some time, the pujari had put the deity to rest, and he himself was taking rest. And then Gopinath appeared in the dream of the pujari, and he told him, "My dear devotee, Madhavendra Puri, the sannyasi who was here, I have kept one pot of sweet rice for him. You did not notice it because of my tricks. Please take this pot of sweet rice to Madhavendra Puri, who is nearby in the marketplace." So the pujari awoke from the dream. So just see, by the mercy of an advanced, a pure devotee, how many other people get such mercy as well. And this Brahmin priest, he was feeling himself so fortunate that the Lord had instructed him like this. He quickly took a shower and he went on the altar, and there it was behind the cloth, a pot of sweet rice. And he went into the marketplace, and it's, you know, the middle of the night. He went calling out, "Would the sannyasi whose name is Madhavendra Puri please come and take this pot of sweet rice and enjoy the prasad with great happiness? You are the most fortunate person within these three worlds." He kept calling like that, and Madhavendra Puri came out and identified himself, and the pujari offered his full dandavats at Madhavendra Puri's lotus feet, knowing this was not an ordinary devotee. This was, who can understand the Lord's kindness? So Madhavendra Puri, he offered obeisances to that sweet rice and to Gopinath, and he took that sweet rice with great relish. And then he washed that pot and he broke it into small pieces and tied it in a cloth. And every day for the rest of his journey, he would eat just a little bit of that pot every day. So Madhavendra Puri also thought, oh, by the morning, news of this will spread, and many devotees will come. I better leave Remuna at once. So he left and traveled that morning on to Jagannath Puri. When he got to Jagannath Puri, very happy to see Lord Jagannath, he offered his obeisances, full dandavats, and news had already spread to Jagannath Puri of this great devotee, Madhavendra Puri. And now Gopinath was becoming famous already as the deity who stole the pot of sweet rice, Kshirachura Gopinath. The pujaris in Jagannath Puri, they came at once and asked, "How can we serve you?" And he told him of his mission that Gopal had sent him to get this sandalwood and camphor. So they took him, and the king of Orissa personally arranged for a large quantity of sandalwood, along with two people to carry the sandalwood and the camphor and accompany Madhavendra Puri back to Vrindavan, and with all the papers that he would need, because it, like I said previously, no one was allowed to take the sandalwood outside of the Orissan state. And at this time, the Mohammedan government, it was very difficult. There were many tolls and so many possible hindrances and dangers on such a long journey. And actually, as a side note, when I was looking to see what the distance is between these places, from Vrindavan to Remuna and Remuna to Jagannath Puri, when you're leaving on Google Maps, when you're leaving from Vrindavan to Remuna, the first thing you're supposed to do is head toward Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. So I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada has made this path for all of us. Otherwise, what is the possibility? And it's at least 1,000 miles to go from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. And imagine by foot. So when Madhavendra Puri and his two assistants were returning, they went back to Gopinath's temple to stay. And that night, again, Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream. And that, between Jagannath Puri to Remuna, is 250 kilometers. So, close to 200 miles like that. 100 and, yeah. So, When Madhavendra Puri was sleeping, Gopal appeared to him in his sleep and told him that, and again, I'm going to read it because it's much more powerful. O Madhavendra Puri, I have already received all the sandalwood and camphor. Now just grind all the sandalwood together with the camphor and then smear the pulp upon the body of Gopinath, deity, until it is finished. There is no difference between my body and Gopinath's body. They are one and the same. Therefore, if you smear the sandalwood pulp on the body of Gopinath, you will naturally also smear it on my body. Thus, the temperature of my body will be reduced. So when the pujaris at Gopinath temple heard this, they were elated. They were so happy that now their deity was going to get all this opulent, beautiful chandan and camphor. So for many days, Madhavendra Puri and his assistants, they ground that sandalwood, and Madhavendra Puri personally covered the body of Gopinath with that sandalwood. And it was Lord Chaitanya himself who was traveling to the Gopinath temple with four of his devotees who told this story. And Madhavendra Puri was his spiritual master's spiritual master, Ishvara Puri's Guru Maharaj. So Lord Chaitanya, he asked Lord Nityananda, he said, do you know of anyone more fortunate than Madhavendra Puri to receive all of this mercy from the Lord? So, Lord Chaitanya, there's a lot of very special benedictions we can get from praying to Madhavendra Puri and hearing about him and his devotion to the Lord. And one thing I want to leave you with from this past time in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that Lord Chaitanya himself repeated this verse that Madhavendra Puri would say over and over again at the end of his life. And this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself in intense separation from her Lord Krishna. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So, Chandan Yatra, so this is how Chandan Yatra came to Vrindavan. And the Goswami temples, they've been, it's continued there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I was not able to find, maybe one of you know, when the first Chandan Yatra happened. I believe it was at Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, but does anyone know the year? The first time Chandan Yatra was celebrated? No. Okay, if anyone finds out, I would so like to know. Here in Niraman Reti, Chandan Yatra, oh, actually, before we go there, I was talking with Chaturatma Prabhu, and he told me the first time he and Ayendra Prabhu and Rambhadra Prabhu offered Chandan Yatra to Govindaji in New York, said it was in the year 85 or 86, and it was the first and only time Govindaji's body has been covered with the Chandan. And these three devotees, they decided that they wouldn't let anybody know. They would keep it a secret between the three of them. So they ground the sandalwood in secret, and somehow or other, he couldn't even remember how, they got the other pujaris off the altar that morning in time for them to cover Govindaji in Chandan. And at that time, greeting of the deities, when the doors open, all the devotees have a great big handful of flowers and offer it right as the curtains open. So Chaturatma Prabhu was saying he can still remember the look on everyone's faces when the curtains opened and they had the handfuls of flowers and they all froze in midair. Their eyes as big as Lord Jagannath and the flowers here and froze because they had never seen before. So here in New Ramanreti, Radhashyama Sunda were installed in the year 2000 on Srimati Radharani's appearance day, Radhastami. So it was the following summer when in 2001, when the first Chandan Yatra happened here, and it's happened ever since. And the first year, Hari Puja was giving me some remembrances that they chose July because it's the hottest time here in, usually, we're getting a little mercy this year, but it's usually the hottest time here. And Shyam was dressed in flower shorts with a flower belt, like that. And Hari Puja was so nice because, I wish one of the pujaris who's much more qualified than me was giving the class and could share with you so many realizations, but I just gathered a few for you. That how many people Krishna can engage in one day's service? How many devotees were grinding the sandalwood? How many devotees helped with planning the flower outfits and the flower decorations and the feast and all of that? And she's saying how in the spiritual world, morning, noon, and night, there's a festival. Sometimes we read how there's hundreds of thousands, actually unlimited servants of the Lord that are creating and all these beautiful festivals for the Lord and his devotees. And just a little background that, so today what happened is after the noon artik, the doors close, and the pujaris, this chandan that's been being ground for 3 months has already been drained, and the pujaris who are expert cover the Lord's body, and after it's dried a little bit, then they're smoothing it with a cheesecloth to make it very smooth and beautiful. And then they're coming in and they're painting the beautiful decorations you see and accentuating the Lord's features that are covered by the chandan. And then the flower dressing begins. So, and this flower outfit will be used just one time. And those who are fortunate will get some of those remnants of chandan off the Lord's body and some of the remnants of the flower outfit. And in Vrindavan, Samapriya was telling me, the temples also have, in the open courtyards, they have fountains and flower and water mists. And some of the temples you'll see just the most beautiful flower arrangements in the, and I think it's getting, well, I don't know if it's late or not. I was told to go later because it, but I just wanted to share a couple verses with you from the Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, where some of these beautiful flower jewels are described. When you see these beautiful, and please come close while the Lord's giving darshan and see the intricate mukut pieces and crowns and anklets and bracelets and necklaces that are offered to the Lord. This is by Srila Rupa Goswami. The flower ornaments of the divine couple are flower crown, flowers in the hair, flower earrings, flowers decorating the forehead, flower necklaces, flower armlets, flower sashes, flower bracelets, flower anklets, many other kinds of flower ornaments. Just as these ornaments may be fashioned from precious jewels, gold, or other materials, in the same way they may be made of flowers. And it's described that they're even more pleasing to the Lord made of flowers than out of precious jewels. The divine couple's crowns may be made of rangini flowers, yellow jasmine flowers, navamali flowers, sumali flowers, driti gems, rubies, pearls, or splendid moonstones. These may be artistically arranged to construct beautiful crowns. The flower crowns known as pushpapara are the best of all, and they are more pleasing than even the best jeweled crowns, ratnapara. Lalita Devi learned how to make these pushpapara crowns from Srimati Radharani. a garland of flower buds and similar ingredients closely strung together and placed on the hair is called balapasya. When an earring is fashioned from flowers in order to resemble a certain object, the earring is called kundala. There are many different kinds of kundala earrings. The flowers may be arranged to resemble a peacock, shark, lotus, half moon, or many other things. So this can be found actually online. You can read the whole beautiful, beautiful descriptions of all the different flower jewelry you can offer to the Lord. And parasols, chatra, and a couch. The couch is fashioned of champaka and mali flowers and decorated with small bells. It has a large cushion of navamali flowers. Also an awning, different kinds of awning, and an entire cottage can be made for the divine couple out of flowers, with reeds as pillars and various colorful flowers as the roof and four walls. A vemsa, flower cottage, is constructed. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Madhavendra Puri, King Indrajumna, all of the previous acharyas, we have this great benediction to get to celebrate Chandan Yatra on this auspicious day and to get to offer our services to the Lord each and every day. There's one. One other thing. So Krishna is so kind, he makes himself available for us to worship him. We don't have to try to worship him in his Virata Rupa form. He's so kindly come in his Archa Vigraha form. And I would like to humbly thank all of the pujaris, servants of the Lord, who've worked so hard to make this day such a beautiful, beautiful offering to the Lord. And thank you all. Hare Krishna.